and Bowie J. Hello, Jess Bowen. It is Bowie Jane here from Babes Behind the Beats podcast. And, well, I'm most excited to see you today because I haven't seen you for, I think, like 4 days. We text all the time, but I haven't seen you for a few days. So what have you been up to?
Oh, my God. Isn't that crazy? Like, 4 days is a long time for us. We're like, it's been 4 days. Yeah, I miss you too, Bowie. I just want to state that. I miss you.
I miss Jess Bowen. We're in studio together.
Pepe's here. He's licking my foot at the moment.
He's so cute.
But yeah, I mean, I miss you.
I know, because the thing is, we normally work out daily together, and I'm going through a little bit of a stage of not working out.
It's fine, but you're going to get back into it.
But you know when I usually go through a month of this where I go, you know what? I'm not working out. I'm just not working out. So I've ordered a Peloton bike and I'm going to be – the moment that arrives, honestly, that day, I'm going to start working out. And that means everything. I'll be hiking.
Well, I'm going to show up at your place –
Yes,
the Peloton.
Seriously,
so no.
Yes. I was thinking about that. I was like, how can Jess and I do it? Maybe I'll be on the Peloton bike and you can be doing like squats until I finish a 20-minute ride.
Yeah, we've got dumbbells. We know, listen, but
and then we can
we've
swap.
Done this. We can
yeah.
swap. But I'm definitely coming over because you have a Peloton. So yeah. Just letting you know, it's going to happen.
So what have you been up to though?
Well,
oh, you've been anxious, haven't you?
I know. I've told you. See, here's the thing. Bowie and I talk about everything. So, of course, I've been very open about my anxiousness. And I was like, I don't know. Just like some days I just like can't seem to like get my heart race to like calm down. And so one night I told you I couldn't sleep, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She said I can't sleep.
But
and I'm
I didn't
like,
tell you what I did.
No.
So I could not sleep. It was like fucking 2 a.m. and I was like, I still cannot fucking fall asleep. So Lauren, my girlfriend, I told her, I said, I cannot sleep either. And she puts on this app. I don't know what the app was. But anyways, she puts this on and there's this like very calming female voice that's like, feel your body just sink into the bed. Now feel your hands relax, your toes.
Oh, my
relax.
God. If anyone switches onto our show right now, they're going to go, I'm like, getting off this.
No, but it's not meant to be that. It's meant to be relaxing.
Oh, no, but they're not going to sleep when they're listening to our show.
Well, maybe that's true, but this is how it sounded. So then I hear a voice, the same voice that was so lovely to say, just find yourself falling asleep. Close your eyes. And now just slowly count back. From 10,000.
10,000?
10,000 is what it said. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Did you literally?
No, I literally woke up. My eyes, like, I was like almost about to fall asleep, and it did not make me fall asleep because I woke up and I started cracking up, but also telling, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You want me to count back from 10,000? I said 10,000. And then I said 9,999. And then, honestly, I stopped, obviously. And then after like 3 minutes passed, you're just like trying to close your eyes, and it's like, don't worry. Just keep counting from whatever number you remember. And so I was like, so 9,999. 9,999. Like, honestly, that's making me stay up more thinking about where the fuck I was in my counting process from 10,000.
Big question is, did it help you go to sleep?
No.
Okay, right. But this is interesting.
I had to just be like, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm going to go to sleep.
So I used to have a friend, Roz Frederick, if you're listening, from Australia. And we used to talk about visualizing for sport. And she was like, yeah, I can visualize really easily. And I'm like, what? Yeah, I can visualize, like when I go to sleep, I can count down kangaroos and kangaroos jumping over a fence. And I visualize the kangaroo jumping over the fence. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know anyone could actually visualize that. So I'm just like, now when I go to sleep, I try and if I'm really stuck, I visualize counting kangaroos. I'm like, but I don't count backwards. That's depressing, don't you think, Jess? I mean, counting forwards is one thing. So if you go 1, 2, 3, but 10,000, you have to get down to zero.
So someone who's anxious, tell me, how is counting back from 10,000 going to calm me down?
But so you're not visualizing anything with this. See, that's the thing. My friend could visualize an actual kangaroo jumping. So I've always tried to do that since then. Like, I'm visualizing kangaroo, bounce, 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 jump. When, you know, it's just weird. So...
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just didn't. My sleeping schedule is normally fine. This did not help.
Has anyone tried the rain app? Like, I've tried the rain app. That like works
the,
well.
Just, it just, like, is the sound of rain.
Yeah, and we have that on every night. Loud.
Do you guys have, like, a fan or anything? I like the sound of a fan.
Me too. It's the equivalent. It's white noise, basically. Rain, yes. Rain on... I don't know what the app is called.
Interesting. I can't do that. I need to have it, like, a fan.
It's consistent, rain.
It needs to be...
yeah, it's like...
That doesn't sound very pleasing.
Jess, I'm most excited to chat about, we've got a Patreon account. It's brand new, patreon.com/babesbehindthebeats. If you want to see some like videos or exclusive content and get a shout out or do a meet and greet, that is the place. Patreon.com, patreon.com/babesbehindthebeats. And I'm most excited to chat about our new...
we've got some new patrons, which we are shouting out because that's part of our tiers. We have different tiers. Just for people that are listening, we're just going to like break this down real quick. We've got... people that can get shout outs. We've got people that can have meet and greets. We've got people that are going to get more videos. Some people that are going to get some videos, everything. There's so much that we're going to give you and offer you. And we honestly, at the end of the day, we just really appreciate the support. But for right now, I would love to welcome
our general admission babe.
General admission babe. Welcome to the family, Lauren Knoll. She happens to be my girlfriend.
It's okay.
So fine because I love her.
So far we've got my mom and we've got Laura Knoll and we've got girlfriend. Lisa Weiss.
That's Lisa right. Weiss. Thank another friend you. Of yours. Yes.
If you are desperate to see our content, please join. I would like to do a special shout out to Pal Beeble. That's right.
Woo!
Otherwise known as Pal.
Yay, Pal.
All the way from Australia. Pal, thanks for your support. You're always a supporter. And I've known Pal for so many hundreds of years that I can't say.
Love
Pal it. And I have done everything together. Camping, snow trips, anything that involves drinking, we've done together. Thank you, Pal, for joining as one of our general admission babes.
Thank you, everyone. And again, just to reiterate, you can sign up on patreon.com/babesbehindthebeats and check out all of our different tiers. And you could be mentioned on this podcast. So thank you, everyone, for all of your support. Well, Bowie, I wanted to ask you, the holidays, I mean, they're going to come up very quickly.
Well, we are in coronavirus, so I wouldn't mind talking about the holidays.
Something that's like, let's look forward to something, right?
Yeah.
And they are coming up. I think they come up at this time of the year, they come up very quickly. But anyways, with that being said, I wanted to ask you a question about how much you think, you know, Mariah Carey is like the queen.
Queen
of, well... obviously, the Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas. How much do you think she makes a year just from that, like royalties-wise?
Oh, wow. I've got no idea. You're going to have to tell me. I've got no idea.
No guess? No assumption?
I mean, I know you make a lot of money off these songs, but these days, who bloody knows? I'll say 10 grand just to be safe.
$485,000.
A year?
So she's making, of course it's Mariah Carey, so you know she's making a shit ton of money, but just from this one song, a Christmas song,
wow,
she gets $485,000 a year. She's fine for the rest of her life. I mean, I'd be fine with that. If I had one song that made that much for like the rest of my life, I'd be so excited.
That is unbelievable. So I think the message to everyone is write those Christmas hits.
Right. Christmas hits fucking sell. So I know. Do it.
Bondi, our producer, and I, we've written many songs together, and we have discussed that, how Christmas songs are the way to go. And, well, if it was Christmas, I'd say let's go to Mariah Carey, but it's not. So we'll go to our podcast.
Perfect.
And today we have a really exciting guest. We've got Chloe Lilac, who is born and bred Brooklyn. She's only 18 years old. She's lived a life. I cannot believe the life she's lived. basically, if you've
she's gone through a lot. Yeah. She's gone through a lot, and she's come out of it, and like she's got an incredible story. A lot of incredible stories, honestly.
Incredible story, and she's also really had a vision. Even through her downtime, she's had the vision of what she wanted, and she made it happen. So she's been signed to a major label, and she's just released Douchebag. So we're going to chat about all of that and her life next. Hello, it's Bowie Jane and Jess Bowen. We are on Babes Behind the Beats, and today we have Chloe Lilac, who is born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. In the last year, Chloe has gone from, well, sheer obscurity, self-producing songs in her bedroom, to signing with RCA, which is huge, releasing a debut EP, and now has a second EP in the pipeline, coming 28th of August, I believe. Welcome, Chloe!
Hello!
Hi, Chloe. We're so excited to have you. And just so other people know, I was lucky enough to tour with Chloe last year, right? Was that last summer?
Yeah. I think it was exactly a little over a year ago.
That's crazy. Time flies. Yeah. Chloe was opening for Tessa Violet and I was drumming for Tessa Violet. And so I was lucky enough to get to watch this goddess on stage every night because I love you, Chloe. Like I love you so much. I actually think I told you this before. I listened to your song Summer before I even knew you were going on tour with Tessa. I remember I had posted a video on my Instagram and I had your song in the background and Tessa texts me. She's like, do you know Chloe Lilac? Like she's probably going to be on tour with me. Like, do you actually know her? And I was like, no, I just love this song.
Yo, thank you so much, dude. I was so nervous to tour with you guys because I was so intimidated by Tessa. I didn't know the kind of person she was. She is like the nicest person ever, like so down to earth and warm and friendly. But I didn't know if she was going to, because with some people, you just don't know if they're like, especially in the music industry, if they're what they put out. So I was so nervous. I remember in Meow Wolf, I think you were like, you immediately walked up to me and, hey, I'm Jess. And I was like, oh my God, thank God.
You're young, just so the listeners know. Were you 17 on that tour?
Yes.
I remember when I started touring and I was 18 and I had that same fear, especially knowing like you were a younger artist and all this stuff. Everyone should feel welcome. There should never be any sort of, I'm too cool to talk to this person because I'm the headliner or, you know.
There's so much of that though. I so appreciate you. Thank you. Like that meant so much to me. Thank God. Because I've been on tours where like the artist has just been, or the headliner has just been so standoffish to me, the opener. Literally no reason. Like it's like an ego thing.
Yeah, that's so stupid. It shouldn't be like that at all.
Yeah, we're here to have fun. Everyone's out here to do the same thing. And you're working together, especially for a tour. You're a support act for a reason. You know, you're a support act because you draw people. You are there because you were picked to be there. It shouldn't be like the headliner's like, well, never mind about you, you know?
Totally.
Chloe, were you signed to RCA last year or?
Yeah.
For that tour, right. So obviously that's a massive deal, but taking it right back to where you first began, when you came out of the womb,
yeah.
When you came out of that womb and you were obviously singing. So when did you first sort of get into music or realize you like music?
It's like super young. I've always been really, really into it. It's pretty much like the only thing I'm really good at. I feel like everyone excels at one thing. Music is the thing that I've always felt the most fulfilled doing and the most like accomplished doing. So I've just always been drawn to it. When I was 8, I kind of realized it was a career path that you could do. I didn't realize it was a thing when I was younger. Obviously, you don't think about career shit when you're 7. But when I was 8, you know what they say about 8-year-olds and career decisions. I was like, yo, I don't remember where I was, but I remember the feeling of, holy shit, you can just do this as a job. What? How can I do that? And pretty much my whole life, I've been grinding to get to the point where I'm at.
8 years old.
So young.
Yeah.
So young. What were you doing? Writing songs or you just realized you liked singing?
I was fucking around for sure. I was in like a Joan Jett cover band when I was like 9, I think.
No way.
Dude, yeah.
And this would have been also, mind you, again, people that are listening, because you were born, were you born in 2000?
2001, dude.
2001. So then when you were in a Joan Jett cover band in 2009 or 10.
Yeah, dude. Right when the strokes are coming up.
Oh, wow.
You know the vibes.
Well, you weren't your average 8-year-old.
I was, though. At my school, everyone was in a band at 8. That's how I got into it. I was in like a liberal arts private school where everyone was super competitive. It was very like, quote, progressive. You know, it's this school called Brooklyn Friends School. It's like a Quaker school. And it's all about integrity and stuff. And I'm really lucky to have that education. Like I got an outstanding education there. Everyone was like super artistic, super young. And they pushed that. Yeah, we had a great art program and everything. We had a great music program. Super lucky.
Has everyone who's come out of there ended up doing music? Have you noticed? Or like, did people drop out?
A lot. It's a mixed bag. It's a K-12 school. So I think around high school, it definitely becomes more academically focused. Definitely when I was there, everyone wanted to do something in the arts, which was really cool. And I think it's super unique. And I think for the most part, a lot of kids that I know that have graduated from there are going into the arts or are interested in the arts. So, which is dope.
That's a huge influence on why you got into music at such a young age then.
Oh, for sure. And also my parents are like such music snobs. Like my dad was in a bunch of bands when I was little and I was just always around it, you know? So
when he was in bands, was he like a singer? Was he a guitarist? What was he?
He like builds and plays guitar. He builds guitars and amps and architect by day, guitar man by night. He was in this rock band. And I remember when I was like 10, this is something I just thought of. It was Halloween. He was doing a Halloween show and he got a mohawk, but he was like balding. So he kind of got a mohawk and he dyed it purple and like a goatee and a leather jacket. I remember just seeing him on stage and sobbing. So I've always been around music. My mom was a journalist for a long time. She's a stay-at-home mom now, but she was a journalist before I was born. Vocabulary and literature has always just been a huge part of my life. I may not show it in my day-to-day, but I pride myself on having like a really good vocabulary because of her.
Did you learn any instruments? Like your dad's obviously on the guitar.
Kind of. It took me way too long to like legitimately learn guitar. I just kind of was self-taught. I knew like 5 chords. But yeah, I mean, my cousin actually put me onto pop music for the first time. But he used to make us CD mixtapes. It was such a pivotal moment in my life as a little kid. I was 6. And we were on this road trip, all of us, and we were all in this van. I remember the first pop song I ever heard was Ain't No Other Man by Christina Aguilera. And I heard that first note that she hits, and I just immediately knew that was what I like wanted to be. You know, I wanted to emulate that. That's what inspired my love for pop.
You've obviously been into music at a really young age. Then at some point you've gone into live performance. You were doing Joan Jett covers. So I read somewhere that you were busking. This is in New York, of course, is it?
Yeah, dude.
What, you were just getting up and singing? Did you have a microphone? Do you have a guitarist with you? Or what were you doing? And what gave you the balls to do that?
I knew when I was 10. So this was like 2 years after I found out music was a career path. When I was 10, I found out about like major labels. At this point, I had access to computers, so my parents couldn't keep me from pop anymore. So I would like watch Selena Gomez music videos. And at the end, it would say Columbia Records. I would look up Columbia Records, and that's how I found out about record deals. So when I was 10, I kind of made this pact with myself. Okay, by the time I'm 15, I'm going to get signed to a major label. How the fuck do I do that? It was something I just never questioned. I was just like, this is what I need to do.
Good for you.
I'm telling you, this is like the only thing I'm good at.
When I was 10 years old, you know, I think I was, I don't know, singing along to Backstreet Boys and just
as you should,
not knowing what the fuck I was going to do with my life. But you like had a vision.
Yeah. Wow. No, my whole life I've always had a vision and it's changing always, but it's always been music.
So what was your plan of attack then? You're like at 10, you're going, right, I've got to approach the labels. Like what was your, how did you go about this tactic at 10?
Well, at first I was like, okay, I need material. So I started teaching myself how to produce on GarageBand. And that was around the time my family moved for the first time ever. And I had a lot of free time and I didn't really have friends growing up. I just kind of like fuck around on GarageBand. And then, you know, I started putting stuff out on SoundCloud. And then how I got the busking idea was I would just see people perform on the train. And I was like, that seems like a pretty good way for people to notice that I'm good. Might as well. I think about 12, that's when I like really started because I had to build up confidence to do it. I was really scared. And so I was like, where do record label executives hang out? And immediately, because I listened to a lot of Drake, immediately my mind was like, Soho House. So I started busking outside of Soho House.
No.
And like Union Square because that was just somewhere where a lot of people went. And I was like, fuck it. Someone in the music industry has to be there. And yeah, that, I did that for like a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Wow. What age were you then?
I think it was like 12 to like early 14.
And were you doing this on your own? Again, like, would you have someone with you or how?
Just belting with like an acoustic guitar and like maybe a friend would come sometimes.
Were you playing the acoustic guitar then?
Yeah.
Or do you mean like, oh my God. So you were just,
yeah, but I only knew 5 chords.
So you're doing it with the 5 chords and belting your fucking little brains out.
Yeah. And, and people would be like, who is this child? I was like, it's me. I'm Chloe Lilac. I always had the name since I was a little kid. I've always known. Like, it's weird. I don't know. I was a very motivated little kid.
Like, I'm ready to be signed, guys. Ready.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew it was going to happen. I was like, this is my fucking shit, dude. Like, I'm in New York, you know, fuck it. This is the spot.
What age did you get discovered? When did this all change to actually making it to the next level of per se?
When I was 14, not through busking. I wish. That would have been so epic.
Yeah.
That would have been so sick. But no, I've talked to industry people about it. And they were like, we make it a point not to bring busking people in from the street because usually they're crazy. And I was like, I fucking get that. Okay. Yeah, it checks out. But basically, like, I was 14 and I had pretty much gotten kicked out of the school I had been at my whole life. Literally, I was such a good kid up until this point. I was just street performing and producing all the time and I did no work. And I was like a theater kid, so I was in the musical and been on academic probation pretty much like my whole life. I've never been good at school. So they were kind of like, all right, dude, you need to like either shape up or ship out, bitch. And I was like, then I'm leaving. I was like, peace out. So yeah, I had gotten kicked out of that school. I got kicked out of this other school because after that, I lost the few amount of friends that I did have and I was super depressed. So I went to this other school and I got kicked out for fighting this girl. And then basically I was homeschooled and I'd fallen into this really bad scene in New York. It was right when trap music was on the come up. There were lots of hype beasts about and I really wanted to like infiltrate that scene. Basically, the only thing I'd been consistent with was music pretty much at this point. I had completely hit rock bottom. I had no friends. I had a couple friends, but they weren't like good friends. I had just met them. And so basically I get this email from my dad and he was like, yo, meet me at J Street Metro Tech in like an hour. And I was like, he's sending me to rehab. Like, that's it. He's sending me to rehab.
Oh, wow.
I go to J Street and then we go and meet this guy. And it turns out he is now my current A&R at RCA. And he found my SoundCloud through like weirdly a network of parents at the school, the first school, like the artist school that I got kicked out of. Someone showed him my music. And yeah, that's how I got discovered. And I've been in development pretty much ever since I was 14.
Wow, 14.
That's so cool though. So when you went to go meet him with your dad, were you like, I'm not going to go meet whoever it is? Or did your dad tell?
My dad didn't say.
Oh.
I don't think he knew what was going on. This guy was just like, hey, I heard your kid's music and it's good. I work in the music industry and that was it. Yeah, I was fucked up too. I was off like 2 edibles and I was coming from my job. So I was like, I'm going to die. Like, I was like, this man is sending me to rehab. And then Jake, shout out Jake, the guy who discovered me, he sat me down in the Starbucks after interviewing me and taking me to the studio he has. He was like, do you know who I am? I was like, no, you fucking asshole. Who asked that? At the time, he was working at Warner Chapel. And he was like, I want to work with you, but you need to like get your shit together. Like, you clearly have substance issues. So...
this wasn't in front of your parents.
No, that was in front of my dad. My dad was like, yeah. Because my parents knew. Yeah, it was hard not to. I was really bad with drugs at that point, which is weird. Like looking back, I was so young. I was 14 and I'd always been super straight-laced because my parents both are sober. So I was never around substance as a kid. I had never really seen drunk people before. I didn't really know what drunk looked like. I had never like drank a sip of alcohol. I had this moment where I think I smoked weed for the first time when I was 14. And I was under the impression that weed was going to kill you. I just wasn't educated on it. So I just started smoking a shit ton of weed. And then it kind of progressed into other drugs like Molly. And I kind of found out that's a good way to meet friends. I've always been super lonely, to be honest. I've never been great at making and like keeping friendships until like recently. I was like, this is a great way to make friends. And so I just started doing like all the drugs I could, and I was binge drinking. And
how old was this? You said 14?
Yeah, for like a whole summer. Summer 2016 was so fucked up. I don't really even remember it. I was getting like free drugs from so many people, and it was just really bad. I was in the wrong scene. And basically the people I was hanging out with started doing really hard drugs like heroin. And I know that this one is bad. So thank God I was very close to doing heroin though. I'm so glad I didn't. You know, it was normalized with the kids I was hanging out with. So I was like, oh, like it's a little bit one. I don't know. I can't even really get into my mindset.
Such a young age.
It's New York though.
I was going to say, is that something that's normal? I grew up in like Scottsdale, Arizona, which is so conservative. So I feel like I didn't even know about cocaine or any of those hard drugs until I graduated. And then I was like, oh, wait, people were actually doing that? I didn't realize that. That was normal where you grew up?
Oh, absolutely. Maybe not with kids as young as I was, but most kids in New York go through at some sort of substance abuse in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. Everyone in New York has a story of like a friend that's gone to rehab and didn't come back for 2 years, you know?
Because you're in the city, right? You're talking about New York City itself.
No, I'm talking about Brooklyn alone, but Manhattan too. Like, I don't know about the Bronx or Queens or anything. I would assume less so, but I think everyone here has substance abuse issues. The city like makes you grow up mad quick, you know? You know, like you're taking the train by the time you're like latest 12 by yourself.
By yourself? You would take the
train? Everyone did. Yeah. Your parents don't want to take you on the train out of the way.
Oh my God.
They have work, you know?
Like, big city stuff, isn't it? It's pretty cool though, because that's an unbelievable experience, really.
Dude.
You are so worldly because of it, I'm sure.
No, I'm definitely not worldly, but I've been through it. I feel like an 80-year-old.
Worldly, no, New Yorkly, I'll say. Then.
New Yorkly, for sure. I feel jaded in a lot of aspects, but it's weird because I should be in my sophomore year of college. Like, it's weird as fuck. I don't know. Anyway, so after Jake told me to sober up, it took me a while to actually do it. I like sobered up from all the hard drugs, but I had done that like a month before we met. And that was like really intense. I like cold turkeyed everything I'd been doing, including my antidepressants. And that was like really intense. And that was the first time my mom realized that like I had a problem, because it was really bad. I was like throwing up and like borderline seizures. It was really bad.
So you were doing the cold turkey thing. Was that after meeting that guy, or
that was before?
All right. So you were already on sort of thinking, I've got to stop.
Yeah. Cause something like, I don't want to go into this. I saw some like really bad shit and I was like, I need to fucking get out of this. This is bad.
On the road to recovery, sort of.
Kind of, yeah.
And then he's giving you that little bump of going, you know, you've really got to sort your shit out.
Yeah, I wasn't ready to sober up completely though. So like I still binge drank and like smoked probably like 7 joints a day for like 2 years. And then when I was 16, I decided to go to AA for like 6 months. And that was like a truly amazing experience. And I think everyone should go just to see it, because it's such a beautiful thing. You know, AA is great.
So you've then sort of got back on track, so to speak. But then what did your manager, what was his plan of attack with you? Like, did he say, hey, we love your music, or you've got to write more songs, or what was his plan?
Oh, Jake, he just started putting me in sessions, man. He was like, you need to learn how to be a recording artist. And so, you know, I started doing sessions at Warner, and then I started to get my name out there a little bit. Oh my God. They would set up these 21 plus shows at Rockwood for me when I was like 15, and they were the most nerve-wracking things ever. I remember Valentine's Day when I was 15, I played an empty room. So that was in the Delancey in the basement. You know, it was stuff like that. It was just grinding. Probably at this point have 200 songs in my discography. Like I did sessions every day for like 2 years straight. I also had this challenge for myself where I would write 3 songs a day. I think I did that for like 2 or 3 years. And whether they were bad or not, it didn't matter. Like I would just write 3 songs a day. They could be stupid or they would be serious. And I would just do it just to like get better at it. And then Jake kept telling me, like, you need to throw your own shows. You need to, like, do shit yourself. You know, I was like, no, I don't have any friends. Like, how would I throw a show with no friends? And he was like, just fucking do it. And I ended up throwing this show, and it just, like, completely changed my life. Like, I met a bunch of bands, and I started playing in the DIY scene of New York, which has turned out to be pretty problematic. Like, a lot of stuff has come out about the DIY scene recently, but it was a really great community for me to kind of learn how to perform. And a lot of people were hostile about me being in the industry. because, you know, DIY and, you know, they were like, you're in the music industry, like blah, blah.
Oh, because you signed.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't at the time. I was 16. You know, it was pretty obvious. I was like on some professional level with music. A lot of people in that scene, somewhat justifiably, were like, why are you here? But I learned so much from that scene, and it really gave me a lot of confidence and performance skills, and also just like really good friends that I still have today. You know, I'm really lucky.
I really want to kind of jump ahead a little bit right now. I know we were just talking about the DIY stuff, which is incredible. I think you showed up on one of my like Spotify playlists or something like that. Is that what got you like all that popularity then? Was it being on the Spotify playlist? Because I mean, I was so familiar with your song then.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I remember I did a tour with Charlotte Lawrence and I had about like 1,000 followers. And I did this tour with her and I remember nobody knew my shit. I was in Boston. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody gave a shit about anything. No one was moving. Nobody like fucking cared. And then Summer was the last song that I played and it came on and this girl in the back screams and pushes her way to the front and is like, dude, I actually know this song. And it was like kind of insulting, but also really cool. And she was like, after the show, she was like, dude, like, oh my God, I can't believe it's you. Like, I love that song. I listen to it all the time. I didn't realize that it's you. Like, you make that song. And I was like, yeah, dude. And I think that song really started it all for me.
That is the song that, like I said, I remember hearing it on, it was my like release radar, something like that. And I just remember being like, this song. And I put it on one of my playlists. And then I remember being in my apartment doing something and I had it playing. And one of my roommates comes in my room. She's like, who is this? I love this. Oh. And like, clearly you're an amazing song, but just being able to get people to actually hear it. Yeah. So that must have been maybe on like your label side, probably. I guess, of getting that. Yeah. On some of the playlists.
Yeah.
On Spotify, I guess.
I just remember Summer to this day has done the most numbers of any song I have out and was like the closest thing to like a hit that I've had, which like is not a hit, but you know,
that's huge numbers. That's huge numbers.
It's pretty good. I feel good about it.
You've got your second EP coming out. So you have not released a full length album yet, right?
Nope.
Is that correct? Yeah. So to have 11 plus million streams on a song, plus all your other top songs are in the millions as well. I mean, that is huge for a new artist. So yeah, you got to give yourself a pat on the back for that. I mean, that's absolutely massive.
Dude, I'm so lucky. I'm so grateful.
One thing to be put on a playlist, but then people have to like the song.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. You guys are so like, sweet.
That is true. Bowie's right. The amount of songs that I feel like both Bowie and I probably get on each of our playlists that just get added and it's like skip, skip, skip. But the second that song came on, I definitely remember. If anyone who's listening right now hasn't heard this song, go fucking listen to it. You will love it. You just released a single in July, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I Love You.
I didn't put it out. It was a feature for this other...
For another artist. Okay. So it's not necessarily on your Spotify at the moment.
No. It's not my song. I did write it, but you know what I mean.
That song is amazing. So for everyone else who's also listening right now, check that song out because that is your newest release, correct?
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Newest one that has come out. Let's talk about the EP that's coming out then. Douchebag, yeah?
Let's do it.
Good name.
Is it about anyone specifically?
Yeah, it is. It's actually about the same guy I wrote Summer about.
It's about the James Dean guy?
Yeah.
He's still around?
No, not anymore. But
the source of many songs.
Dude, honestly, chef's kiss to that man. Like, thank you. Thank you for the inspiration, King.
Oh my God, I didn't know he'd be around after the summer.
Me neither, man. Me neither.
This whole EP is about him. Tell us about it.
Oh, word. Dude, pretty much I wrote it all when I was like 17. And it's pretty much about my struggle with self-esteem. I'm super self-deprecating in my humor and like day-to-day as it is. So this EP, it definitely like puts me in a position, especially with boys and friendships, where I kind of get stepped on. I'm really grateful to the people I wrote it with. I co-wrote it with a lot of amazing people. And oftentimes when I would go into the studio, I want to write a sad song. And my writers would be like, no, bitch. empower yourself. Been wronged in this situation, like speak on it, bitch. And that's like a big theme in the EP, is about self-esteem and just kind of like being a young woman and like kind of feeling almost a little helpless, but angry at the same time. You know, of course I like co-wrote it, but every single person I've written with has empowered me to be myself. And like, especially the people I wrote with on that EP, like those songs changed me. Writing those songs and performing them have changed me as a person.
Did you find your team and go, you know what? I like writing with these people.
I've never really stuck to like one team. I love working with the same people. That's great. But I always love working with new people. So they're all from all over the place, but they're all the homies. I love all of them. Some of them were like the first sessions I'd ever had with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so great when you can feel that spark. This is magic. And that's amazing. Oh, I can't wait to hear. So how many songs are on this EP?
Seven.
Oh, wow. That's quite a lot.
Yeah, dude.
And are you just dropping the EP?
Yeah, we're just dropping the whole fucking thing.
Okay. I was left the single off the EP, but then I just realized that would have been out by now because that's soon.
Yeah, we're just going for it. We're just like, fuck it. It was like, we kept trying to put it out and it was never good timing with COVID. And then with the tragic murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, like I was really consumed by those two events and like protesting, and it just didn't seem right. But then I don't know. It just, you know, if we keep sitting on it, I've had it for like over a year now. I've had the whole thing done. So yeah, just fuck it. Like we should just put it out.
I feel like a lot of artists have done that at the moment. Like they probably were about to release, then COVID hit. There's been a whole lot of issues that have been going on that it really hasn't been the right time. And it seems in the last month, everyone's like, you know what? I'm just going to release
it. Yeah. Because I think everyone was kind of waiting for it to be over. I think it's, we're in this for the long haul, you know?
Yeah, everyone's in it for the long haul. And
so what's the release going to look like for you then? Normally, obviously, you'd probably be doing radio and then gigs and I don't know, maybe going on as a support act or going out on your own headline tour. I'm not sure. What do you have planned given the COVID situation?
We're just going to put it out, man. Yeah, we're just going to fucking go for it, dude. You know, I've been trying to get my socials up and stuff and just engagement. And yeah, for the most part, it's just communicating with fans and seeing how the fuck this shit pans out.
I can tell your fans are very stoked. Obviously, I follow you on social media as well. And I've seen when you release this, everyone's yes, new music, and including me. Oh. I was like, yes, new music. So very, very excited. And yeah, like you just got to put something out. Even if there's no tour support, you know, of course right now, yeah, everything's kind of paused to an extent in the music industry, but you can still put out music when you want. And I think that's a great thing that's happening right now. And that's something that people can look forward to when there's maybe not a lot to look forward to. So it's really great that you're doing that. And
now we have a little special thing, which you have to answer some questions.
We're going to test your IQ. No, I'm just kidding. It's really
I got so scared.
No, do not be scared. Everyone says that when we bring this up, and it's the easiest quiz.
Yeah,
just so you know. So I'm going to start it off with you, Chloe. Question number one: dogs or cats? I was like, easy quiz. And she's like, oh, fuck, this is hard.
Like, this is the hardest thing I've ever. I guess dogs, but I love both. I guess dogs, though, because I'm allergic to cats.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. See, that's good. You gave us a little bit of insight as to why you picked dogs over cats.
Yeah. I love cats. That's great.
Okay. Second question. Coffee or tea?
Tea, for sure.
Oh, what kind of tea?
There's this really good Trader Joe's brand. It's ginger turmeric herbal tea. That's my favorite tea.
I just
you
it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I don't really drink tea, but I bought it. And now I thought that would be nice.
Dude, it's so good. I just had it. Well, if you guys heard me drinking earlier, that's what I was drinking.
Oh, all right. Ooh. Good to know. I'm going to actually open the box.
Give me one of the packets then.
Yeah, I will.
Next question is beach or snow?
Beach. Oh my God, beach.
Yeah, I mean, you're from New York. It makes sense.
Yeah, I cannot do snow.
You're like, snow? I get the fucking snow all the time.
Oh. All right. Fourth question. Headline or opener?
I think headline, because I haven't done it before.
Yeah, I would for sure.
We were talking about the benefits of both. I mean, ultimately, in the end, everyone wants to be the headline. Yeah. I think.
that's the end goal. No one wants to be like, I want to open for the rest of my life, right? Yeah. So I think
no, that's right. Otherwise, why would you be doing
that? Right. Okay, last question, Chloe.
Okay.
I don't know if I remember this from when we were on tour together, but what is on your rider?
Half sour pickles.
Pickles.
Dude, I fucking love pickles.
I love that.
So good. I would also say the Trader Joe's tea. I would also say, ooh, I really like Trader Joe's. They have these gummies from Trader Joe's that are like called gummy penguins and they're so fucking good. Oh, also Gushers and Fruit Loops.
You haven't had Gushers, Bowie?
I've never even heard of them.
They don't sell them in Australia?
No.
They have to have Gushers in Australia.
Dude, oh. Maybe, I don't know.
Chloe, we're going to give her Gushers. Dude. Chloe can explain it.
Dude, they're so fucking good. Imagine a fruit roll-up, but with sauce on the inside.
Yeah, like the fruity flavor that you taste, it's like a liquidy flavor inside when you chew into it. Like it gushes when you chew it. That's why it's called
that
Gushers.
That sounds amazing.
My mouth is watering.
Oh, I haven't thought about Gushers in years. And I'm like, I think I'm after this going to go to the store and get Gushers.
Wait, this is at Trader Joe's?
No, this is anywhere. Oh. This is Gushers. Actually, you can't get them at Trader Joe's.
Oh. No, dude.
Have you heard of fruit roll-ups?
Yes.
Okay. So like she said, it's like fruit roll-ups, but it's another brand of that, which is like the Gushers, which like they gush.
I'm going to get a strawberry one. That's so nice.
Oh. What else would you have on your rider? Now I'm like, I needed to hear everything because you've got great ideas that I'm like adding to mine.
Dude, as you should. I think like vegetables and hummus.
Yes, that's always good. It's always good to have the safe, healthy choice.
Dead ass. My stomach gets like really upset on tour. So I have to eat really well for the most part. Oat milk and bananas. That's it.
Okay. One last question though. Like say you're Beyonce and can literally ask for whatever you want. For instance, someone was like, oh, I'd have like a masseuse every night. What would be the one thing that you would for sure ask for?
Therapy dog.
That's a good one.
Or the show. Just like a really nice golden retriever.
Do you realize you can just put that on the rider? You don't have to be a Beyonce to have that.
Dude.
You can have
that. I would fucking thrive so hard. Like that's my vibe for sure.
Jess is never going to get booked again. Just got her riders getting bigger everywhere.
No. But remember, Bowie, I told you I had already as kind of a joke, but it ended up happening was I had puppies on the rider with my band that I was in for like 10 years. At the end of it, I was like, just put puppies and let's just see what fucking happens. And more often than not, people would bring puppies. Like anyone that worked at the venue would just be like, well, they wanted a puppy, so let's just bring our dog. They'd bring their dog to the show and then I'd get to play with it.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. Literally my fucking dream, dude.
Oh, it'd just be like, if someone is working at the venue that has a dog that they wouldn't mind bringing.
Yeah.
Could you put that on, you know?
Bring the fucking dog, dude.
What do you think was the point of your career where everything fell down? Well, it was when I added puppies to my ride after an interview with Jess Bowen and Blake. Oh, that's awesome.
I'm just saying it can happen. But anyways, that was the end of the quiz. That was the end of the interview. Chloe, thank you so much for doing this. You obviously know I'm a huge fan, always been a huge fan of you, even before we toured together. And so for people that are listening right now to find you on social media, would you give us like your Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you feel like you're the most active on that people can keep up with you?
Yes. Follow my Twitter, ChloeLilac_, and my Instagram, which is just ChloeLilac. Jess, thank you. And Bowie, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Chloe.
You are amazing. We cannot wait to hear your EP. Again, everyone, this EP, Douchebag, it is dropping on August 28th,
yes, sir,
which you guys will all get to enjoy. So listen, and Chloe, thank you so much. And hopefully see you soon when the world is back to normal and we can tour together again.
Please.
Perfect.